Friends, let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are grateful today. We are grateful that it's not raining. Thank you, God. And we are grateful for each person in this room. Thank you, God. And we are grateful for your word, which breathes life into us and makes us new people and gives us hope. Hope not only that the sun will come out again because you've promised it won't rain forever, but also hope that we can become new no matter how old we are, no matter how desperate we are. And so we lean into that good news today and wait expectantly. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Judith Shulevich does not like to be told what to do. She doesn't. She especially doesn't like to be told what to do with her time. She works for the New York Times, and I don't know, the rest of you don't mind being told what to do, right? Or to being told what to do with your time. But Judith Shulevich says, I don't like anybody telling me what I should do, when I should do it, how I should do it, or especially how I should spend the most valuable thing in my life, which is my time. Now, Judith grew up in a Jewish household, so in Jewish households that she grew up in, there's this thing called Sabbath observance. And in the high rule kind of experience of her Jewish upbringing, Sabbath was one giant rule surrounded by all kinds of small and medium-sized rule. The giant rule was keep the Sabbath day holy, and all the rules around it were all kinds of things. There are 39 rules in the Talmud that said you couldn't cook and that you couldn't use electricity, you couldn't make a fire, you couldn't do all kinds of things. And she grew up with all of that and she said, forget it. She became what she called a knee-jerk libertarian. I said, I'm not going to do any of these rules. I'm going to leave the whole Jewish deal and especially this Sabbath thing. It's crazy. I'm out of here and I'm going to do whatever I want on whatever day I want to take it. And she became a New York knee-jerk libertarian. She wrote about it later in the New York Times, the Sabbath, and she said, you think Jewish are bad, so I just got to tell you, if you're a Christian, you're just as bad, and you're maybe worse. And it's true, actually. If you know anything about the Puritans or the Pilgrims who came into this country, they loved rules. Well, actually, they loved God, and they thought the way to love God was to love rules. And I think partly not only did they come here with a mission, but they were kicked out of the old country. People couldn't take their rules. Some of the rules about Sabbath observance went like this. They called them blue laws because they were supposedly written on blue paper originally. But the blue laws went like this. You had to go to church, but you could not use excessive haste to get there. You had to go to church, but you could not go in a showy horse or a horse groomed in a showy kind of manner. One guy came home from 3 years being gone from his wife and he kissed her on the lips on the Sabbath day and he was put in the stockade for showing unseemly affection on the Sabbath day. Makes you wish you were a church-going Puritan in the early 1600s, doesn't it? And so it went, rule after rule after rule. And to that we all say, we live in California. Who needs something stuffy and pent up kind of weirdness like that? I mean, let's all become knee-jerk libertarians and move to New York City or stay in California where in theory it's sunny. Let's do that instead of all this kind of crazy ruleness. Now, if you're over probably 40, you remember a day when a lot of things were not open on Sunday, right? You remember going downtown. I remember going downtown in a small town in Minnesota. Well, and things were, you know, on Sunday, nothing was open. In fact, that was true after 5 o'clock every other day too. But, But I also remember the day I interviewed as a pastor in this small town in Minnesota church, and there was like a 24/7 gas station thing, and one of the oldest people in the church was filling up with gas after the service, and I thought, yes, they're not about rules in this place. I think I can make it here, you know? But there's all kinds of rules. It wasn't that long ago where people thought playing a foot playing a sport so violent as football on Sunday was a total breach of the Sabbath day. Still, in pubs in New York City are not open for a certain time because on Sunday, because Sunday is, after all, Sunday. And so the rules went, and it makes us want to sort of dance on this dead Sabbath day that we have. But before we dance on the tomb of the Sabbath, we ought to think about this. It's part of this conversation we're having from the Gospel of Luke. Part of this conversation is that Jesus keeps saying, I want you to be free. And I want you to, I have come and I've died. I'm going to die so that you can be free. I've come so that you can live life fully like you're supposed to. And he's arguing with these real rule-oriented folks. And when it comes to the Sabbath day, he takes them on because the Pharisees had all kinds of rules about the Sabbath. We mentioned this last week, but you could swallow vinegar, but you couldn't gargle with it. You could ride a donkey, but you couldn't hit it with a stick to make it go faster, because that was like making it work. Rule after crazy rule after crazy rule. And so when Jesus comes after the rule-giving Pharisees, we want to say, yes! But one interesting thing Jesus didn't do was throw out the Sabbath. He threw out all the rules that were made around the Sabbath. He threw out their over-management of the Sabbath. He threw out their crazy, pietistic obsessiveness about the Sabbath. But he didn't throw out the Sabbath. Isn't that interesting? In fact, he said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. So let's think about this text and what it means to have and to live with Jesus as Lord of the Sabbath. I wonder if you would stand and hear this text from the Gospel of Luke. Just leave your papers down. I'd like to say it so you can maybe experience it as if you're hearing it for the first time. It goes a lot like this. One Sabbath day, Jesus was walking through the grain fields, and his disciples began to grab some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and then eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are your disciples doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? It was unlawful to pick heads of grain. Why are your disciples doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God. He took the consecrated bread. And then he ate what was only lawful for the priest to eat and gave some to his companions as well. And then he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. On another Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. And there was a man there whose right hand was shriveled. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were keeping close watch on Jesus, looking for a reason to accuse him, seeing if he might heal on the Sabbath. Knowing what was in their hearts, he said to the man with a shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. And so he got up and stood there. Then he asked them all, which is lawful on the Sabbath day? To do good or to do evil? To give life or to destroy life? And he looked at all of them. And then he said to the men, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was completely healed. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to talk about what they might do to Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. You can sit down. So what does it mean that Jesus stands up and says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath? Well, one of the things it means is the way we relate to work is completely different. Now, some of you, let's say we're all in different places of work. Some of us are retired. And so the way we think about work is different than it's ever been in our lives. As one friend said to me, I was made to be retired after I worked, and then I became retired. I realized I was made to be retired, which I can totally relate to. I think I might be able to relate to someday. That's one. Others of us don't have enough work. We live in an environment where we wish we had more work than what we do. We're underemployed or unemployed. Others of us have way too much work. We have three jobs, but none of them are full-time, and it feels like they don't pay enough. Others of us have one job, but it is three jobs. And our boss keeps saying, if you don't want to run this fast, I'll find someone who will. Any questions? And we could just stop and look at work and say, you could do all kinds of sociological studies, psychological studies about how work is wearing people out at a pace and in a way that has never worn out people before. We are the first kind of culture in the history of humanity where folks choose whatever they want to do, and then they build their identity on what they do, and then they expect their work to satisfy not only income and means of support for their family, but their ego as well. Who they are, how they think about themselves is so connected with what they do at their work. We also live in a place where work is, I mean, talk about demands. It's insane. You don't want to go to India next week? I'll find someone who does. You don't want to go to China next week? I'll find someone who does. You want to work 70 hours a week? I'll find someone who does. Do you have any questions? You go. Or I'll find someone who will do that instead. So in this fast-paced, crazy-paced world, Jesus shows up. And he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And we think, what? Part of what Jesus was saying is there's this ancient rhythm of work and rest, and work and rest. And it begins in creation, the Genesis account. One of the big ideas of the Genesis account is there's 6 days God creates, and he does work, and he does good. And then there's a seventh day, and on the seventh day, God stopped. He stopped. One pastor put it like this. He said, so humans were created on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, God stopped. So that means the first day in human experience was Sabbath. As if to say, you're going to work in the Garden of Eden. Work is a good thing, and it's a godly thing, and it's a blessed thing. You think about, we'll work for all eternity. Well, that's a story for another time. But the first day, we rested as if to say, we are God's workmanship. We are the people he loves. It's not connected to what we do. It is built into who we are. Before we throw out the Sabbath day, the Jews were the first culture. This idea of Sabbath was the first culture in any culture in the world where folks said, everybody stops one day. Everyone stops. That had never been done before, ever. And not only do you stop, but in the Exodus and Deuteronomy account of the Ten Commandments, your slaves, your female slaves, your male slaves, your donkey, your oxen, your animals, everybody stops on the Sabbath day. One Jewish commentator said, those crazy Jews, they think they can get away with doing nothing one day out of seven. They were living this ancient ritual where we work and we do what we're called to do, and then we pull back as if to say the world does not depend on us. And it was this gift. And so when Jesus and his disciples are violating the law, even a petty, stupid law. I mean, we hear this and say, wait a minute. You get in trouble for picking grain. First of all, who would want to pick grains of sand and roll them and then pop the kernels in? Does that sound appetizing? No. But let's say someone did. Would you stop them? I mean, that just sounds crazy. It sounds so petty. But what the Pharisees were doing was protecting a really precious gift. In fact, to Jewish people, when their temple was busted down by the Babylonian Empire, by the Babylonians, they then thought of the Sabbath as their temple. They kept the Sabbath as if they were keeping the temple. One rabbi says the Jews kept the Sabbath and the Sabbath kept the Jews. It gave them the sense that they are not slaves, that they are not have to prove their existence every week over and over and over again, but they can rest in what God has done for them. Doesn't that sound like a good gift? And so it changes how we think about work and how we think about activity. Sabbath, Jewish folks have always taught, is like a queen, and you wait for the queen to come in on Friday night at sunset. You wait for it to come in, and then you rest, and you play, and you relax. We, in our freedom in California, think, oh, we can do whatever we want. And so we do, and we fill up every day with soccer and with sports and with activities and with free time and with leisure and with running and with all kinds of things. And we call that freedom. And then we run around and we say to each other, you busy? Yeah, I'm busy too. I bet I'm busier than you are. And we have little contests. You're retired? Yeah, but I'm still busy. Okay, good. You're still valuable then. Okay, good. Aren't you free? Great to live in California. Don't you think so? Yes. And we say, oh, we're so much freer than those petty Jewish people or those Puritans. We're so much smarter and wiser. And the Lord of the Sabbath says, there's another way you can live. And I give you this gift, and I get rid of all the rules around the outside, but I give you this one practice as a gift. 6 days, one day. 6 days, one day. How would you like to live 1/7 of your life with a full taste of eternity? No, you don't have to, but you could. Okay, it changes the way we think about work. It also changes the way we think about our spirituality, our piety, our practice before God. There's all of us are tempted on some level, even us kind of free-spirited Californians, to build a spiritual resume for God. We come to God and we say, I didn't want to show up with nothing, so here I am. Look, I've ushered. I've made cookies. I was nice to the pastor and they didn't deserve it. I washed windows. I did work day. I had Sam Johannes over for a meal. I did, and on and on and on and on it goes, right? We're building our spiritual resume. And in a sense, that's what the Pharisees were doing. There's rules about grains of wheat that you eat. There's rules about how far you can go. There's rules about the donkey and you can ride it, but if you hit a switch. There's rules about whether you can boil water. There's rules, and you're always working on your resume. You're always working on who you are before God. One of the rules was you couldn't heal on the Sabbath day. It was work. So to protect work, they said, we don't want any healing on the Sabbath day. When the Pharisees see Jesus in the synagogue, the pious answer for Jesus, if Jesus sees the man with a shriveled hand, the pious answer was, come back tomorrow and I'll heal you then. There's another place later in Luke where there's a woman with a shriveled like back. And Jesus heals her on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, again, are furious. And you think, that whole speech, right? Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Is it okay to save life on the Sabbath? What Jesus is saying is, your rules, your piety, your resume, your spiritual resume building is getting in the way of you knowing God. Remember last week, if you were here, Jesus said, new wine is poured into new wineskins. Old forms and structures aren't going to work with the gospel, with this good news that we're saved only by what Jesus has done. And so Jesus is on this pilgrimage towards the cross where he will say, at the very end, it is finished. It is finished. You don't have to live like it's up to you. You don't have to live like you have to build a resume with God. You don't have to live like it's all on your shoulders, your spirituality, your faith. You can walk through life whistling. You can breathe. You can rest. You have a new relationship with work, but you also have a new relationship with your own spirituality and your own trying to find yourself before God. There was a movie made on Sabbath keeping a long time ago, called Chariots of Fire. And one of the guys in Chariots of Fire, right in 1920, I think it was, or 1924, British Olympics, and off they went, and they were going to save the world. And there were two sprinters who were fabulous. And one said, someone asked him, why do you run? And he said, I run because I have 10 seconds. 10 seconds to prove my existence. And the other, when he found out that one of the trial heats was on the Sabbath day, he said, I don't need to run then. I don't need to run. And the king even called him in, or the prince. Come on, run for your country, your country. And he says, I have a higher calling, right? So one is like trapped and trying to prove himself, in a trap that so many of us get into without even realizing it. And then others just had this freedom Okay, so here's this gift of a Sabbath. Can you see why? What it means for Jesus to be Lord of the Sabbath is you can have a new relationship with work. And you can have a new relationship with your own spirituality, your own resume building, if you want to say. And then I want to just kind of turn from what does it mean to how might we practice it? Because the devil's been in the detail for about 2,000, 3,000 years, right? Okay, it's one thing to get this gift of the Sabbath. It's something else to keep it in a way that breathes life into us rather than sucks the life out of us. So I just have a few practical tips. Take it or leave it. These aren't rules. These are just ways. These are invitations to practice the Sabbath in a way where Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath and in a way where you can say it is finished. So, thought number one, start. Okay, pretty deep, huh? Start. So there's a couple things on start. One is Jewish folks would light a candle, still light a candle, at sundown on Friday and welcome in the Sabbath. There's a whole ritual. In other words, you mark the beginning of your Sabbath. Now, does your Sabbath have to be, Jewish Sabbath be sundown Friday, sundown Saturday? What Sabbath would you like to have? Would you like to have it from sundown Saturday to sundown Sunday? I can't have it that way because I work on Sunday. Maybe you've noticed. My Sabbath is Friday, so that doesn't work for you. Maybe you're a teacher and you say, well, I'm going to take Saturday as my Sabbath. Maybe you work Wednesday through Sunday. You say, I'm going to take Monday as my Sabbath. But the question is, how are you going to start it? What is it? How does it begin? Jewish folks have lighted a candle. There's kind of a ceremony they do. And then they put flowers in place and this whole kind of thing. In other words, they mark the beginning. They mark the beginning. Okay? Another way to kind of start on the start theme is just to start small. Suppose Sunday is going to be your Sabbath and you just say what? Well, for some of you, shopping is a recreational sport. But for others, shopping is like taking pills you don't want to take, right? So you just say, I'm not going to shop. I'm just going to start. Here's some things. I'm not going to do things that drain me on Sunday. Because you shouldn't have to on the Sabbath. I'm not going to shop. I'm not going to wash my car if washing the car is raining. Is raining. If it's raining, you don't have to wash the car anyway. If it's draining. I'm not going to pay bills if that's draining. I'm not going to do bookkeeping. I'm not going to do chores. I'm not going to paint. I'm not going to do a to-do list. I'm not going to run the kids around to 37 different activities. I'm not going to. That's just a start. You could just start with some version of that. Here's another kind of in the starting is a second thing I want to suggest, which is stop. 6 days God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested is the word, but it's really the Hebrew word for stop. He stopped. And Sabbath, Jewish rabbi Abraham Heschel, from famous in the 40s and 50s and the 60s, he walked with Martin Luther King Jr. Heschel had these wonderful things to say about the Sabbath. In fact, let's see if I can find a quote from him quickly. If I can't, I'll send it to you in an email. Here's what he said. Sabbaths are great cathedrals, our holy of holies, a shrine that neither the Romans nor the Germans were able to burn. It is a day when believers turn from the results of creation to the mysteries of creation. 6 days a week we wrestle with the world, wringing profit from the earth. On the Sabbath we especially care for the seed of eternity planted in the soul. Jewish folks believe that there was extra spirit on the Sabbath, that in some way the Sabbath, if the world kind of tears you apart, the Sabbath would put you back together by starting to practice it and by stopping. A couple other ideas. One is creation as part of the Sabbath, to get in tune with creation, to play in creation. John Calvin, a reformer from the 1500s, he was famous for his own rules, but he would love lawn bowling on the Sabbath. I mean, if you know John Calvin, you think, okay. But anyway, so there's just that, this being outside. But some of us have turned the being outside into its own. I mean, it's like this major monolithic industry, being outside, recreation. It's all about being outside. Okay, that's like no longer replenishing. But being outside, long walks. When my wife Jerry and I were in sabbatical, we were in France, and we thought, well, let's go get some. It was an adventure, right, going to the grocery store. Let's go to the grocery store, get some food on a Sunday. Shut down. Oh, that's quaint, we thought. We'll go to the big Walmart-like store. We drove to the big Walmart-like store. Guess what? Shut down. And on the way, we had noticed a lot of people, families, biking. We had noticed a lot of people going out for strolls. And on the way back, we noticed them even more because we thought, those French, those French. Now, this is not a Christian nation by any stretch of the imagination, but they were keeping the Sabbath. Isn't that fascinating? By being outside. Here's another thought. Essential, I think, to the Sabbath, and I think it because I stand on the shoulders of people who've thought it for about 3,000 years, is worship. Part of the Sabbath isn't just stopping, but it's being reminded of who you are and what your story is and who you belong to and who loves you. It's being reminded that for you, it is finished. For you, you don't have to do all this activity. For you, it is finished, and so you can rest in the presence of the one who has done things for you. Being here, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Here you are, so pat yourself on the back, okay? Because here it is. It is a Sunday, and in the middle of... some people are confused, right? They think the church's competition is another church. It's not. It's everything else. It's everything else. What could you be doing right now? A million things. And here you are, hopefully remembering this is who you are. This is who you can be. You can be someone who lives a life of being loved, who lives in freedom, who lives without a performance track, always building on your resume, in your 80s, still building on your resume. Instead, you can rest and say, I'm going to experience this gift. Judith Shulevich, the libertarian, went back into the Sabbath, in fact, wrote an article on it, and that was such a big thing in the New York Times that she eventually wrote a whole book on it as a way to say, now me and my family have gone back into the practice of the Sabbath, left our libertarianism, our liberalism, and gone back to this ancient practice. A practice, she says, you don't get right away. At first you think, yeah, the pastor's crazy, the rabbi's nuts. It takes a long time of practicing it before it gets into your bones and you start to rest. What does it mean that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath? It means he wants to give you rest. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this gift. We acknowledge it could be practiced in all kinds of suffocating, draining, rule-enforcing kind of ways. We recognize that it's tempting it's tempting for people to sort of build up expectations for other folks. But instead, we pray today that we could receive it as your gift, that we could practice it. And in practicing it, we could be freer, kinder, more merciful, gentle, graceful people. We pray all this in the name of Jesus and say amen.